Well, I know everybody's anticipating our start of our new sermon series today, but you know, it's funny, God speaks to you through a lot of different ways, and through about four or five different ways, he said, I want you to turn to 1 Peter this morning. So if you'll turn over to 1 Peter, we're going to hit pause and in 2 weeks start that sermon series, 1 Peter chapter 5, and we are going to be taking a look at this morning, verses 6 through 11, and I'll share with you in the message how we ended up at this place. And so let's take a look at God's word together. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care on him, because he cares about you. Be serious, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him and be firm in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. Now, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little while. The dominion belongs to him forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Have you ever found yourself in a situation when you felt powerless? Have you ever dealt with the frustration of knowing that no matter what you did, there's really nothing you could do to truly impact the situation that you find yourself in? And have you ever wondered where God was in moments like that, or where God is and what he's doing? You know, I think a lot of us, if we're honest, have found ourselves there before. This isn't the first time I found myself there, but it was on Wednesday night. I think our whole family found ourselves there when my mother fell. And there was nothing we could do. We knew we didn't need to move her. And so we just had to stand there and wait for the ambulance to come. And it was very unsettling because we knew that she was hurting. We knew that she was in pain. We knew that her arm was in bad shape. We knew it was either her leg or her hip. It ended up being her leg. We knew that things were not well. And then the powerlessness continued, right? I remember I could drive. I was driving behind the ambulance, and I could see them talking to my mom, and I couldn't see my mom, but I could. They weren't panicked, so I felt good about it as I was following them along. And then we sat in the hospital in Murfreesboro and just waited. And they said, well, we can't do anything, so we're going to send her on to Vanderbilt. And so we made our way to Vanderbilt, and about 24 hours, we just sat there in that waiting room. Talk about feeling powerless, right? Somebody you love, somebody you care about is hurt and in pain, awaiting surgery, and you're just sitting there and there's nothing you can do except pray. And that's a big thing. We're going to get into the power of that in a minute. But that powerlessness, I think we can all relate to that on some level. You know, maybe there's something going on in your life right now that you feel powerless over. Maybe it's a situation at your workplace, and you want to fix it. You've tried everything you can do to make it better. Nothing. Or maybe it's a relationship with somebody, and you've done your part, and it's not working no matter what you do. Or maybe you've got a health issue going on in your family, like my family does, and you feel powerless over it. And we find ourselves in this passage because on Tuesday morning, this is how awesome God is. I had no idea what was going to happen on Wednesday, but you know who did? God. I want you to read what he laid on my heart, and I wrote it on Facebook on Tuesday morning at 7:46 a.m. Remember who's in charge. When work, family, friends, health, and finances are great, we tend to give God all the glory. But what about when things get a little more difficult? 1 Peter 5:10 says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. Never forget that God is always at work and always has a plan. He is with you, always ready to support you, even in your most difficult moments. Now, I wrote that on Tuesday, and I needed to read it Wednesday night. And I needed to experience it on Thursday, and on Friday, and on Saturday, and even this morning. You see, even when we feel like maybe we're not in control, the good news we have this morning is that God always is. Amen? God is always in control. Even in the midst of the pain that my mom's in this morning and others in our church are in this morning, God didn't fall asleep on the job. He is still just as much in charge. And we're going to look at this passage and see how, and I've titled this sermon, God's Got This. Whatever you're facing this morning, whatever it is, I want you to know that. God's got this. Whether you're in a good moment or a bad, God's got this. You see, I think we can find great comfort in God's sovereignty because, as Peter tells us here, He truly cares about us. Think about what he says there. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's almighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares. Because he cares about the problem you're facing. Because he cares about the concern you have. I don't know about anybody else, but I used to struggle with that. Not that God loved me, but how much he cared about the day-to-day life moments of Kenny Butcher. Anybody ever wonder that about your relationship with God? Is there a limit to what I can pray for? How much will he involve himself in my time? I mean, I'll tell you, the first time I felt a little crazy. I was in a rush to go make it to a visit, and I was praying for a good parking spot at the hospital so I wouldn't have to walk so long so I could get there in time to pray for him. And I thought, I feel a little silly praying for a parking spot. And then the Holy Spirit quickly rebuked me and said, no, you pray for that parking spot. Look up, it's silly. It's right in front of you. Open it up right now because somebody's leaving. And I got in the front row. Now, I'm not saying he answers that prayer every time. I mean, but when I needed it, he was faithful and he provided a way so that I could make it before a surgery and have that prayer with somebody by having that closer parking spot and not having to drive way far on the other side of the parking garage. God cares. God cares about these little things that we might call little details of our lives. That's why it's good for us to cast every anxiety that we have on him. So my question for you is, what are you anxious about? What are you worried about right now? What pops in your head? And have you been willing to humble yourself before God and say, here you go. Here you go. I'm going to trust your judgment. I'm going to trust your vision. I'm going to trust your plan because I know that you care for me. I spent years of my life being careful how I prayed because I was afraid that God might give me something I didn't want. Now I pray boldly, knowing if God gives it to me, ultimately it is what I want. What a difference that is. And that's how we can share our anxiety with Him. You see, I think far too many people refuse to cast their cares to the Lord. They talk about it, and they might even pray, but then they carry the anxiety with them, and they try and work out the situation on their own. I read an article last night before I went to bed, and right now, I don't know if anybody's read this, there are 3 different mission groups trapped in Haiti who were planning to fly out, and then protests erupted all over the country, and some of them violent, and none of them could make it to the airport. And so they had to turn around and go back to their compounds or the rural areas where they were serving, and they're kind of trapped until things calm down. And it's a protest against the government. And Something that struck me about the article is the calm that both the organization that was leading the mission trip, which is based out of Nashville, and people from the churches, one of which is from Mount Juliet, they just said, God's going to protect us, and we're just going to keep serving. We're going to keep fellowshipping. I mean, they knew and trusted that God's got this. What would your life look like if you lived it like that? If you just lived it saying, God's got this. God's going to see me through my financial hurdle. God's going to see me through my health concern. God's going to see me through my hopes and dreams not coming true yet. God's going to see me through it all. What if we lived our lives like we actually believed what we say we do? That God is sovereign, that God is in control, and that God is always, always with us. You see, this is about trusting God with every part of yourself and believing that He truly cares about you. See, the first thing Peter lets us know, you got to ask for help. You've got to ask Him. Here's God is so gracious to us, and you've heard me say this before, but He will not violate our free will. If you're determined to take care of the problems in your life apart from God, He will let you try. He'll let you try over and over again until you humble yourself before Him and say, all right, God, I'm done with that. So ask God for His help. Also ask God for what is best. I shared this with the Sunday school class. I met somebody in the elevator walking to my mom's room, and it's a long walk, and so we got to talking, and I said, well, what brings you here? And he said, we're about to take my sister off the ventilator. And her daughter's over at the Skyline Hospital with a broken pelvis and 7 broken ribs. They were in a real bad car accident, and my sister's brain dead. And so we're trying to see if we can somehow get her daughter transferred here so that she could spend a few moments with her mom before we take her off. And so, and I said, well, let's pray. And I told the class I didn't know what to pray because I didn't know if this is a believer. I didn't know anything about this family. But here's what I knew about. I knew about Jesus Christ. And I knew that God cares. And I knew that God cared about the hurt that they were feeling, what they were experiencing. And so I can't tell you what I prayed. I don't even remember. It was all the Holy Spirit. But I know it moved the man to tears. And he said, thank you so much. That's because I let him know that God cares about what he's going through. We also reflect on God's timing and ask him to bring peace. You know, this whole idea, we often live our lives like God is the one that just sits up there and watches instead of comes down here and gets involved. Whether it's we don't want to inconvenience him, or whether we don't think it matters to him. I shared with you a few weeks ago that God would be as involved in your life as you want him to be. That's true. We see that in this passage. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he'll exalt you in the proper time, and in his way. Why? Because he cares for you. But here's what we also got to remember. He's not the only one down here trying to get involved in our lives. We've got an enemy. He goes by many names. Here he's called the devil. Lucifer. Satan. What does Peter tell us? He goes around like a prowling lion seeking to devour anybody he can. Elsewhere, we're told he is here to kill, steal, and destroy. then follow that up with Christ is here to give life and life abundantly. So we've got that going on. We've got God who is for us, and we've got the devil who's trying to destroy us. But here's the good news we have this morning. The devil can never hold a candle to God. Ever. There is nothing he can throw at your life. There is nothing he can bring into your life that God cannot turn into something good. What does Paul say in Romans 8 chapter, verse 28? For God works all things to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Why? Because he cares. The devil brings it for your harm. God takes even the nonsense he brings and uses it for your good. But we've got to be wise about it. You know, with everything going on with my mom, it could very easily overwhelm us, distract us. And I imagine everybody's got something in their life that could easily overwhelm you, easily distract you, make you feel defeated, make you doubt your faith, make you wonder, what on earth, God, are you up to? And that's what the devil's trying to do with it. He's trying to make you question everything. And here comes Christ. And he says, I'm the answer to every question you have. Why won't you turn to me? Why won't you hear when I say come? Why won't you follow me? You see, for the average Christian, we go through our life, and the average person, ignoring the spiritual reality that's around us all the time. And we just focus on the circumstances right in front of us. And God's like, you could have a much more abundant life than that. One where I restore you. One where I build you up. One where I take care of you, even while the enemy tries to destroy you. I love that last verse. Now the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you've suffered a little while. I love that idea of him personally doing it. You know, one of the things that I love about going on a mission trip is I get to personally do things. We're going to help some people rebuild a house that lost it in the wildfires. I love the idea of getting to go there in person. Could I have given money? Could our church have given money and let somebody else do it? Yeah. But there's something unique about personally doing it. And just as we're personally going to get in our cars and we're going to go up there and we're going to get to meet that family and minister to that family and help that family, God sent his son to personally get involved in your life. And when Christ ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to personally reside in each and every one of us. That's the hope that we have in Christ. That's how I know, no matter what I face in life, no matter what you face in life, that those words from Peter are true. That maybe after you've suffered a little while, notice, the expectation is you're going to suffer. Peter doesn't hide that. He doesn't say, once you become a Christian, life will be easy. He says, when you've suffered a little while, God will be there to support you. God will be there to affirm you, to make you secure, to build you up, and make you firm and steadfast. That's our hope and that's our promise this morning. This is God's way of saying, I got you. I got this. Haven't we seen that play out in Sylvia's life? Hope you don't mind me using you as an illustration. Right now in Thailand, I mentioned it during the prayer, that soccer team, if you've watched the news, is trapped in this cave, flooded with water. If you saw this morning, four of them have been rescued. I feel like God's saying, I got this. I feel like the Holy Spirit said to me on Tuesday morning, I got this. What's going to happen tomorrow night? I got this. The whole recovery time, God's saying, I got this with my mom. What do you need God to say to you this morning about that? What situation have you been wondering if God's got it? Let this be the morning that you start trusting in faith that God is going to stay true to His Word. And just as He said, I got this, to Peter, He says the same thing to you. Let's pray. Father, You know that sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we wonder what You're up to when we face trials and tribulations of all different sorts. Help us to never forget the level of Your care and love for us. And help us to not only never forget that, but also remember that You truly do have this. That You're going to walk with us every step of the way. That after we've suffered a little while, You are always there to restore us and to bring us to the place where we find peace and rest. Lord, if there's any doubt within our hearts this morning, may we turn away from that and begin to put our hope, faith, and trust back in You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes forward to lead us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you this morning, if there is any situation in your life that you've been doubting what God's up to, remember that first step, ask God for help. Cast your anxiety upon Him. Come down to this altar and pray. Ask Him to intervene. Ask Him to intercede. And trust that His timing is going to be perfect. His solution is going to be better than anything you can come up with. And while that devil might try and destroy you, you know what? When we walk with God in faith, God is so much more powerful than the devil could ever hope to be. And He's ready to restore you and intervene in whatever's burdening your heart this morning.